A lot of you don't know this, but both these guys are law enforcement. Eddie is retired, and Jim is up in DHS. And so pray for these guys. We have a lot of law enforcement in this fellowship, and so... I was reminded of that because when Eddie told us all to stand, he didn't say, let's all stand. He said, let's all rise. So I knew that it was that courtroom thing that was still going on in his heart there. So, let's all rise. Okay. One day we're going to rise, aren't we? Once and for all. And we are going to be out of this place. But in the meantime, we got work to do, folks. And boy, I'll tell you, it's heating up, isn't it? I'm not just talking the temperature outside. We're just talking about what Paul talked about. That lawlessness would abound. Hearts would wax cold. And when these things begin to happen, he says, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Near. And folks... it's nearer than it's ever been before, isn't it? So we are close. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love God's Word here. We want you to follow along with us. We're in the Gospel, the Good News of Matthew this morning, chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. The fruit is from the root. Botany 101 this morning. So we've opened our Bibles. Let's open our hearts. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would do the surgery that's needed on all of our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that your word comes down from heaven and does not return unto you void. But it's up to us to prepare the soil. Sometimes it has rocks, sometimes weeds, sometimes it's hard. I pray, Lord, that we've done the gardening in our hearts today before we arrived, so that we could allow your word to penetrate our hearts and to be rooted in good, rich soil that we might bear much fruit. And that's your desire, Lord, that we would bear much fruit. And so this morning we commit this time to you. We do pray for our nation. We love America. We pray, Father, for everyone in this nation that's going through heartache now. For those that are involved in law enforcement, for families that have been affected in many different ways from the violence that's going on in our own nation and throughout the world. And we know that it's the heart that pulls the trigger. And it's the heart that drives the semi. And Lord, this morning we are going to look at the heart of the matter. It's the matter of the heart. And so I pray, Lord, with this all-important text, that you would lead us and guide us and teach us and convict us and conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you are the great cardiologist. You give us a new heart. We need that desperately in this nation. And so I pray this morning that through your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Short section, verses 33 to 42. But there's some incredible stuff in here for us. Given by the person of the Holy Spirit, to all scriptures. Given by God, it's sharp, it penetrates, it's God-breathed. And so this morning I pray that the Lord would speak to his people. This is what the word of the Lord says. Red letters. Jesus speaking. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. There's a heavy one for you. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Last Sunday, verses 22 to 32, a man was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. What must the life of that man have been like? He was a poor, tormented soul. Jesus said he had been healing multitudes of people also because Scripture tells us over and over that he had compassion on people. He had compassion upon this man and he healed him. And the multitudes were amazed. The word in the original language is flabbergasted. They were flabbergasted at what he did, to say the least. And they themselves asked, could this be the Son of David, which is a messianic term? They knew what the religious leaders did not know. Doesn't that just blow you away? That the multitudes knew what the religious leaders of Israel did not know. The multitude recognized Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. While the Pharisees, the religious leaders, accused him of being a son of Satan. Can you imagine that? The multitudes attributed Jesus' works as being divine. The Pharisees attributed his works to being of the devil. Man, how hard can the human heart be? Here they are, the religious leaders. They had the word. They had the Word of God, but they didn't know the God of the Word. Do you know that's possible? There are many people today that can quote Scripture. Oh, this is the Word of God. But they don't know the God of the Word. I used to be one of those. I've shared that before. Used to quote Psalm 23. Used to recite the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord was not my shepherd. He was not my Father in heaven. Why? Because I didn't have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the Bible clearly says, unless you have the Son, you don't have the Father. And here they are with the Son of God right before their religious noses, and they didn't recognize their own Messiah. Man-made religion can blind people, and it does. We see that today, don't we? And so Jesus then accused them of the only sin which could not be forgiven man, and that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And it is the person of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said, when I go away, he will come and he will testify of me. It is the person of the Holy Spirit that testifies of Jesus Christ. It is also the person of the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And because they had hardened hearts and they continued to push him away, they couldn't even see their own Messiah. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. There comes a time, if you continually push the Lord away, that he will honor that request. If you want nothing to do with God, he will honor that request, even throughout all eternity. How scary would that be? To be separated from God and your believing loved ones forever and ever and ever and ever. The deliberate refusal to acknowledge the power of God in Christ. And God will make every effort to reach us, won't he? He found me at the bottom in the mire and the muck. And he pulled me up and he cleaned me off like many of us in this room. As long as we have a breath, we have the ability to call upon the name of the Lord and to be saved. Have you done that in your own personal life? I know oftentimes week after week we go give invitations and there are people that don't respond that should. That's not up to me. It's up to the person of the Holy Spirit to draw them, and it's up to them to exercise their own free will and respond to the drawing, to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. It indicates a willful, intentional, and deliberate refusal of the Spirit's work to draw someone to Christ. And the end result, of course, is the irreversible hardness of the human heart. And so this morning, in verses 33 to 37, Jesus, the great physician, I also call him the great cardiologist because he's great at everything in the medical field, isn't he? And I often mention that you and I are PAs, physician's assistants, every one of us. We get to go into the operating room at times and work with the great physician, the great cardiologist. We assist. Sometimes we even get in the way, don't we? But he always accomplishes his work. The great cardiologist gives us, here in this text, the major cause of heart disease. And we're not talking physically, we're talking spiritually. As he gets to the root of the matter in a short but powerful parable. He's talking about the heart. A parable, of course, that is a physical example of a spiritual truth. That's what a parable is, a physical example of a spiritual truth. Remember when you were a kid, your parents would say, what do I have to do, draw you a picture? Well, our Heavenly Father at times has to draw us a picture, a physical example of a spiritual truth, and he does. Praise God for that. I love the parables. He brings things to life. And so, even though Jesus would draw these Pharisees a picture, if you would, their noses were so far up in the air, it went right over their self-righteous heads. And worse yet, it could not penetrate their calcified hearts. That's the original language for the hardness of heart. It is calcified. Nothing can penetrate. And again, doesn't that blow you away? Jesus talked about the four different types of soil. First soil he mentions was the hard one. When the sower would go out to sow the seed, which represents the Word of God, that seed would not even penetrate the hard soil. They would become human bird feeders. I wonder how many churches today has human bird feeders sitting in the congregation where the Word goes out, the seed goes out, and it goes nowhere. Doesn't even penetrate. And the birds of the air come and they eat the seed. And so here in verse 33, Jesus says to the Pharisees, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Jesus is, according to Colossians 1:16, we know that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so here he begins with botany 101, I call it, a simple lesson in plant science. When you go to Israel, it's so wonderful to look around in the places where Jesus taught, and you can see how he taught these parables. When you go to the Mount of Beatitudes, I remember we left the bus walking to the place known as the Mount of Beatitudes, and we saw these stumps of grapevines that were cut off. Just the stump was there. But it was so cool because just as Scripture says, I saw how they had grafted in a new vine into these stumps. And so we see a picture of what happens to you and I who are Gentiles. He grafts us in. He's the vine and we are the branches. And we are to bear much fruit. And when we come to know him, he grafts us in. When we give our hearts to him. And so Jesus gives us a simple lesson here in plant science. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. How simple is that? Little kids upstairs in Sunday school can understand that a tree is known by its fruit, isn't it? Why? Because the fruit is from the root. And again, a major portion of the fruit that you find in Israel is the grapevines. And there's some wonderful lessons that Jesus teaches out of these vineyards and vines. Good fruit. Don't you love good fruit? I get kind of disappointed sometimes when I go into the produce department in the market and the fruit looks really, really good and I get it home and, man, where did this come from, you know? I love good fruit because it's luscious. Someone sent us some peaches one time from up north and, man, it was the kind of peach where it just dripped down your arm. You had to have a paper towel under your arm to hold the thing. Don't you love it? Oh, man, it's just, you're just basking in, you know, peach juice running down your arm. It's luscious. It's wholesome. Anybody got any fruit with them? I'm hungry. It's delicious, it's tasty, and it's healthy, isn't it? It's hard to beat good fruit. But in contrast, bad fruit. You know, when you get that fruit home and it looks fairly good, and all of a sudden you take a bite and it's rotten, it's sour, it's unwholesome, it's unhealthy, it's bitter. And I've had that happen so many times, and there's such disappointment. But you know what? All it takes is one taste or one bite to determine whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. And that's why we are to bear much fruit, because people out there taste of the Lord when they see you and I. We're going to talk about that here in a moment out of Galatians, what the fruit of the Spirit is. And we're to bear much fruit. We're to bear good fruit as Christians, luscious fruit, run down your arm type of fruit. And how sad it is, oftentimes you see a person that is religious or even claims to know Christ and it's bad fruit. They don't have fruit. Why? Because of the root. The root determines the fruit. And bad fruit, in many instances, it may look okay, but man, it's terrible. Now, as we all know, the lesson here is a spiritual one. We're not just talking about food. And the all-important fruit that we want to see here is that spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, which roots are found deep within our hearts. Fruits which the blaspheming Pharisees knew nothing about. They could not bear fruit. Look at verse 34. Brood of vipers. I wonder what tone he said that in. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Wow. Jesus now goes from vines, if you would, to vipers. Just bingo like that. They must have just really been taken back by this brood of vipers. Venomous vipers. Literally, he's calling them a bunch of slimy snakes. To the religious leaders who had all their religious garb on and the phylacteries on their foreheads and their right hands. And, you know, they looked very pious and spiritual in public. As you know, they were just stage players. They were phonies. They were fakes. They were religious knockoffs, if you would be the term today. And Jesus could see that. Jesus sees the hearts of men and women. Brood of vipers, slimy snakes. Jesus always has a way of getting people's attention, doesn't he? And boy, I'll tell you what, I bet he had their attention here. Jesus did not shy away from exposing the hypocritical, self-righteous, blasphemous religious leaders. He called them out. Why? Because there's tremendous danger there for those that don't have a personal relationship with the true and the living God. You see, vipers are deceptive and deadly. And these brood of vipers, these religious leaders, read Matthew 23 when you get a chance. Again, the Lord uses that term there as well. He said, you travel miles to make a proselyte, and then they become twice the sons of hell as you. Wow. Jesus said that? Absolutely. He called them out. Jesus had a way of getting their attention again. Deceptive, deadly vipers. And what do? They blend into the scenery, don't they? The rocks and the sticks and the bushes. It's kind of startling here in the desert when all of a sudden you come upon a snake, a rattlesnake. Praise God, he put little rattles on those things to warn us where they are. But they're deceptive and deadly. The mother lays a large number of eggs. And a brood is hatched. That's where Jesus gets this term. And when the brood hatches, these little killers begin to scatter everywhere. And even as little tiny snakes, they were deadly, these vipers. And so Jesus says these Pharisees are a brood of vipers, scattering and promoting heresy, false teaching, legalism, tradition, and poisoning the minds of people. That's why we are so concerned with God's Word getting out here. That's why we teach God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We don't deviate. We give people the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. And how sad it is today that there are many pulpits, even right now, that are preaching heresy in America. They're not giving the full counsel of God. We need Genesis 1:1 all the way to the maps in the back, folks. Every cross T, every dotted I is given by the inspiration of God, and we don't deviate from it. But these guys, all of a sudden they bring in heresy, false teaching. The best way to know the counterfeit is to know the truth. We need to read the Word on a regular basis. You can't come and have the pastor spoon feed you every Sunday and Wednesday. You need to feed yourself every day. The milk, the meat, and the manna of God's Word. Why? Because look what's going on. You know, we see it today with heresy and false teaching. Legalism, tradition, all of these things were poisoning the hearts and the minds of people then, and they still are to this very day. And this venom that was going out from this brood of vipers would damn the souls of men. And so in verse 34, Jesus asked them, "How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Good fruit, bad fruit, good heart, bad heart. Leads right into it, doesn't he? And you know what? Bad heart means bad mouth. And I'm not talking bad breath. Good heart means good mouth. And it's so important, isn't it? In all reality, our lips are attached to our heart. Because what we say comes right out of our heart. That's who you and I really, really, really are deep down inside. That's the real you. This is one of the most basic principles in Scripture. Over and over and over, we see God talking about the heart. I love Ezekiel 36:24, where God takes out the old stony heart, the great cardiologist, the calcified heart, and He gives us a new soft heart with Jesus Christ in it. You see, the heart of a man and his mouth are connected. They are one. What we are on the inside, the mouth testifies on the outside. Whoa, that's pretty scary, isn't it? It's an inside job. The heart is who we are. The heart represents who you are in your nature and in your character. Jesus says this in Matthew 15. We'll get there in a few weeks. "It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth that defiles a man." Wow. "For out of a man's heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, gossip in the heart of man." You see, we can't blame guns in America today because it's the heart that pulls the trigger. Do you get that one? And it's the heart that drives a semi-truck. It's the heart that murders. It's the heart that rapes. It's a matter of the heart. And only Jesus Christ can change the heart of man because it's an inside job. You can eat wild hickory nuts, granola food, the whole thing, and still have a filthy heart before Almighty God. Jesus said it's not what you eat who you are, it's who you are in your heart. Meaning I can have an In-N-Out double-double grilled onion and still have a clean heart. Thank you, Jesus, because that just goes into my big belly. It doesn't go into my heart. Of course, it's my heart that makes me want a double-double with grilled onions. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. Man, read James. Whoa, you want to get whooped? Read James every day for a month. See what happens. Whew. James says that the tongue is full of deadly poison, like a viper. He also says, "Can fresh water and salt water come out of the same spout?" Meaning if dirty stuff's coming out of your mouth, it's coming out of a dirty heart. And only Jesus Christ can clean up our heart. I know. I had triple X rated language before I came to know Christ. Filthy mouth, filthy jokes, the whole thing. Rated triple X, but now my language is rated G. Godly. Because God has changed my heart and He's changed my language. No excuses. Sometimes people slip in front of Pastor Joe. Don't worry about slipping in front of Pastor Joe, believe me. Because I'm not keeping record of your words, as we'll see in a moment. He is. Every word you'll have to give an account for. And people say, I don't know where that came from. And I go, I do. It came right from your dirty little heart. And I duck. Let's be real. If Jesus lives in your heart, you know, the language that comes out of your mouth has to be different. It has to be different. If you're born again of the Spirit, things have to change. And yeah, you may slip, and I did early on. Man, when a word would come out, it would be like, man, a huge word just coming out of my mouth. Wow. I knew where that came from. But the good news is God gives us the ability with our speech to confess our sin, to take responsibility, and be forgiven. But there's hope. We all have the opportunity to have a good root with good fruit, don't we? It's a matter of choice. It's your choice what type of heart you have, which is a good heart with a good tongue. And that can only happen one way, to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. You need to be plugged into Jesus. I'm going to put my ribbon here and turn right to, you're familiar with it, John chapter 15. This is so important, ties right in with the message today. It can tell you how to be rooted in so that you can bear good fruit. And it starts in John 15 with two words of deity, who he is. He says, I am. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Here's the key. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. As many of you know, we did 12 years, hard time in Vermont. And one day I brought in a branch from an apple tree. And I put it up on the podium teaching this section. I said, man, a couple weeks we're going to have apple pie. And they thought, man, we're going to start drug testing with Pastor Joe here. I get this did. And the reason I did that, because we know that there is absolutely no way that branch is going to bear any apples. Why? Because it's not plugged in. We need to be plugged into Jesus Christ to bear fruit. Jesus very clearly says here, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit without him. We can't bear fruit without him. So simple. I am the vine, verse 5. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears how much fruit? Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Do you realize? Without him, we can't do anything. The only reason you took that last breath is because he allowed you to. And that last beat of your heart, he allowed you to. We're to be plugged into him and him into us so that we can bear much fruit. I love the fact that he wants us to bear much fruit. Not just a little bit, much. Abundance. The old Chiquita banana thing, you know? She comes with a big thing, all the fruit on there. And that's the way Christians need to look today. Bear much fruit. So what is this fruit that we must bear when we abide in Jesus Christ? Turn further right. Galatians. If you don't know where Galatians is, it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company, I call it. What is this fruit that he wants us to bear? You know, I'm preaching to the choir here. Every one of us must know what the fruit of the Spirit is. 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Here's the question. How's your love life? We're not talking physical. Don't get nervous. We're talking spiritual. How is your agape love life? The fruit of the Spirit is love. The greatest evidence that you and I are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit as we are to be overflowing with the love of Christ. To everybody, not just our little Christian family and our little cliques and all. We are to even go as too far as to love our enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who despise you and pray for them. That's the love of Christ. We're to love and to pray for everyone, whether you like them or not. We were all at enmity with God before Jesus Christ saved us. We were his enemies. We were separated because of our sins. But because of his great love, Jesus Christ came into this world and died for you and died for me so that we could be grafted in, so that we could bear much fruit, so that we could know that love from above, because we were looking for love in all the wrong places. We thought it was the flesh. My generation was so deceived. The hippie generation, we thought we had love. What a joke that was. And then we found love. Chuck Smith started ministering to the hippies. Amazing what God did. Because of this man who wore a suit. He didn't dress like a hippie. No, he didn't even have any hair. Never mind long hair. But God used him to love people that many churches wouldn't even allow them to come in. And that's when the Jesus movement began. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Do you have joy? Everybody can have happiness, but joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is based upon what's going on. It's based on circumstances. You got money in your checking account, I'm happy. You got gas in the tank, I'm happy. All of a sudden it's on empty, you got no money. Oh man, where'd that happiness go? Out the door. But when you have joy, it's like, okay, Lord, you've allowed this. You know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I got the joy of the Lord. Just waiting to see with joy how he's going to take care of the situation. And he does. Peace. Do you have peace? The world's falling to pieces. Do you have peace? God takes a life that was in pieces. Many of us were in pieces, and he's given us peace. Long suffering. You know what that is the opposite of? Short-fused. People make the excuse, well, I'm Italian, that's why I'm short-fused. Or you fill in the blank. Every nationality uses that excuse for being short-fused. God doesn't buy the Italian thing. Goomba. Kindness. Are you kind? Goodness. I could spend the rest of the morning in this, but I got to pick up the pace because I only got 3 hours left. So, goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Are you gentle? Self-control. That's the last one mentioned, and you know what? I think it's one of the most important of all of them. Do you have self-control? Look at people around us, they're out of control. Self-control covers so many things. The opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, Paul talks about back up in verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. You know, sorcery is pharmakia, is the word for sorcery, meaning the illicit use of drugs. Hatred. Contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pastor Joe didn't say it. The Bible says it. So where are you rooted? Are you rooted in the vine, which is Jesus Christ? Or are you rooted in the things of this world? Do you have good fruit, good fruit, bad tongue, good heart? You have to be plugged in. And God's going to give you the opportunity again today, if you've been pushing him away, to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Back to Matthew. So what's on your tree? What kind of fruit do people taste? It's not what's in your wallet. It's what's on your tree. What's in your treasury? Do you notice he uses the word treasury here? Look at verse 35. Let me get to the page. Where do we go here? 35. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, this is the original treasure chest right here. This is where your treasures are. Jesus here speaks of the heart as a treasury. It's a storehouse in the original language where all your thoughts, your ambitions, your desires, your loves, your attitudes, your loyalties, and all of your motives are stored. Amazing, isn't it? And God sees all those things. In his omniscience, he knows everything. The reservoir from which the mouth draws its expressions comes right out of that reservoir. There's an old acronym. I know acronyms are popular with kids today. It's G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. And it's up to us what we have in our treasury, what is stored up. And the good news is that God just doesn't leave us with garbage in our hearts. He gives us the ability to clean house. And isn't it wonderful that he does that? He's the only one that can clean out our heart, and he does. All we have to do is ask him. Verse 36. But I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. As we look at this, because men's words are an accurate gauge of the heart, every man and woman will give an account one day of every idle word. Isn't that scary? Read an article the other day that words, when we say them, just continue on throughout all eternity. And this was proven one time because a broadcast that went out hit an asteroid and it came back and it played over a radio station. Some of you seniors may remember a program called Howdy Doody. All of a sudden, it's Howdy Doody time started playing. You younger folks can Google it. Started playing over the radio. And every word that we speak continues on. And guess what? God keeps very good records of every word that we speak, every idle word. That's pretty scary. Like I said, my language was pitiful. But here's the good news. The good news is this. With that same mouth where those words came out of, we can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Thank you, Jesus. And he hits the delete button. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us for how much of our sin? Partial? All of our sin, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Pretty scary. With that same mouth, the Bible says when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. So that same mouth that can condemn you, Jesus says, can save you. Have you used your lips to save you? I hope so. If not, again, God is going to give you yet another opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, give you a new heart. Charles Stanley talked about this morning. Seal you with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption, and you belong to him. And so what happens when you confess Jesus with that mouth? New vine, new fruit, new heart, new mouth, new life, new you, new home in heaven. Hallelujah. How can we resist so great of a salvation, the Bible says? Why would you settle for the opposite? Man, oh man. I can understand that now because the light is going on. When I was walking in darkness, I couldn't. I thought, man, I'm just having too much fun. Religion is for geezers. No, it's not. A religion will make you a geyser. It will fill you up with living water that flows through you and will just so bless your life. You see, religion really isn't for anybody because Jesus didn't come to give us a religion. He came to give us a personal relationship with him. The Pharisees had religion. Jesus wants relationship with us. As for the ungodly, as for the blasphemer, they will be eternally condemned for their heart and for their words. Red letters, Jesus tells us. So the choice is ours, isn't it? So, we've seen two fruits, two hearts, two tongues. The Christian tongue, wholesome, pure, kind, loving, sensitive, edifying, meaning you build people up, you don't tear them down. Truthful, spiritual, it blesses and doesn't curse. The condemned tongue, profanity, deceitfulness, lying, flattery, pride, vulgarity, hateful, gossip. Oh yeah, gossip. That's slandering someone's character. The crazy thing here is that even with this stern rebuke and warning from Jesus Christ, as well as an opportunity for them to be saved, their hearts were so hard that the Pharisees still didn't get it. Why? Because they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. That's scary. And even with all the incredible miracles that Jesus did, the scribes and the Pharisees still had the gall to ask him for another sign. Look at verse 38. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." The word, they called him teacher. It was like a poke at him. As if you claim to be a teacher. We know that he's more than a teacher, isn't he? He's God the Son. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And they slam him by calling him teacher. How hard is the religious heart? Here we go. "But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here.'" Wow. Again, Jesus gives him a parable, doesn't he? He puts, first of all, his seal of approval on the story of Jonah. The two stories in Scripture that the liberals try to just bash and destroy, of course, are Noah and the ark and Jonah and the big fish. And Jesus Christ puts his seal of approval on both of them. He even uses Jonah as the example of him. "As Jonah was in the big fish 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the bowels of the earth 3 days and three nights, and he shall rise again." Now, this is interesting. Many people go, what's up with the men of Nineveh rising in judgment with this generation and condemning it? I'll tell you why. You see, Jonah didn't want to go in the first place. He went south when the Lord said, go north. But God has ways of, he won't go against our will, but he can give us the will to go. Have you noticed that? And so he gets this rebellious prophet in this big belly of a fish. It barfs him up on the shore at Nineveh. Even a big fish can't stomach a backslider, I found. And what does he do? In his rebellious heart, he goes in and says 8 words. "Yet 40 days in, Nineveh will be destroyed." And he turns around and walks out. 600,000 people repent. What an altar call from a guy that didn't even want to do it. But here's the key to what he's saying here. All they heard in Nineveh, and this was a barbaric, wicked society. I don't have time to go into the details, but they were the worst of the worst. 8 of God's words came before 600,000 people, and they repented. How much of the word of God from the Son of God did these Pharisees hear and the people around and all the signs and the miracles and the wonders, but yet they didn't listen to the word of God? 8 words turned the city right side up. But yet, how many people today, look at America, look how accountable we are. You turn on the radio, there's all kinds of radio stations, Bible teaching programs, internet, the whole thing. We are saturated with the Word of God. But Nineveh is going to stand against, in judgment, those Jew and Gentile who have rejected the Word of God. Doesn't that blow you away? Now, the second example in verse 42 is the Queen of Sheba, also known as the Queen of the South. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. "For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater Solomon is here." Now what does this mean? I'm glad you asked. She was from Arabia, 1,200 miles south of Israel. And she would come by camel or chariot, however she went, 1,200 miles to hear the word of God from Solomon. But yet we got people all around this neighborhood that will not walk across the street to hear the word of God. Does that not blow you away? And again, she will stand in judgment against the Jews and the Gentiles who reject the word of God. Pretty heavy duty stuff. And notice he said, one greater than Solomon is here. He also said, one greater than Jonah is here. He also said further back in chapter 12, one greater than the temple is here. But yet, They couldn't see. They couldn't hear. They wanted a sign from heaven. No sign shall be given. How about you? Are you looking for signs and wonders to be saved? Jesus said none. The only sign is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He's given you his word this morning. He's laid it very clearly out here for each and every one of us that we need to have a new heart. And there's only one way that you can have a new heart is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we've seen here, I'm not being harsh or judgmental or anything, but your words will either convert you or they will condemn you. I'm just the mailman. It's up to you. What will you do with this man who is called Jesus the Christ? And if you would like to receive him and have a new heart, new everything, new lips, God will change your language, change everything, and most of all, he's going to change your eternity. And if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like you to stand right now. Don't push him away. Today is the day of salvation. Anyone, as we close, it's pretty clear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Mañana will never come. Today is the day of salvation. Well, God bless you. Today is the greatest day of your life. So pray this simple prayer with me, okay, to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Would you pray this with me out loud? Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord, my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption as I give my life to you. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. The angels in heaven rejoice. Hallelujah. Okay, let's all stand. Let's get those two cops up here again. We had a ministry in Calvary, West Covina. We called it COP. Christians on Patrol. So, God bless you all. Pray for these guys. And have a great week. If I don't see you in the future, I will see you in the pasture. God bless. Prayer. The elders will come up and they'll be here after the worship to pray for you, any needs you may have. So God bless you.
We're not really cops anymore. I see.